Getting the smile and confidence you've been dreaming about, all from the comfort of your home, isn't a total mystery with Byte Clear Aligners. Just don't be surprised if all your friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. Byte Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
The Bob Seska Show.
Bob Seska.
Bob Seska. You really are sick.
The Bob Seska Show.
From our nation's capital, it is Tuesday, September 20, 2022, and this is the Bob Seska Show on the Sexy Liberal Podcast Network. Hi, what's up? I'm Bob.
Hello, Bob.
Hi, day 609 of the Biden-Harris administration, 48 days until the 22 midterms. Find me on Instagram at TheBobSeska, Twitter BobSeska_go, and our Patreon page, BobSeskaShow.com. Plus, you can follow Buzz Burbank at Michael J. Elston on Twitter, link in the description. And oh, look, he's sitting right over there.
Yeah.
Popcorn.
You said it all.
Hi.
We're definitely going to need more popcorn.
Oh, yes. Popcorn coming up.
Off to the store we go. Hi. Yes, hi, Bob. Hi, how hi. You doing? How are you?
I'm doing splendid. Thank you for asking. How about you?
Well, I'm doing pretty well, but I've been having these nightmares lately.
Yeah.
And I've found these nightmares are such a nice break from real life.
I know.
Yeah. He's Bob. I'm Buzz. And we're a little down today.
Yeah.
We just found out we've been dropped from the cast of Saturday Night Live. We never even got on. Lindsey Graham proposed a nationwide abortion ban. In the news this week, Lindsey Graham proposed a nationwide abortion ban. He says he felt qualified to sponsor the bill because he's heard rumors about how a woman's body works. And in the Mar-a-Lago case, the Justice Department's approved one of Trump's two candidates to be special master. The DOJ chose Raymond Deary, of course, because Trump's other choice was Vladimir Putin.
You know what? Wouldn't surprise me for a second.
Easy choice. As usual, and I don't want anybody to worry because we're talking months away now, but as usual, we're going to take some time off over the holidays.
Mm-hmm.
But we wanted to make our reservations now, and we got a great deal on airline tickets. Some outfit called DeSantis Air.
No! Oh, no! Do not get aboard that flight.
There's a layover in Florida. Joe Biden this week averted a railroad strike, so the trains are rolling again.
Nice.
Just in time for the next Republican relocation project.
Oh, man.
And the QAnon people at Trump's rally were holding their index fingers high in the air, and a lot of people want to know what that means. Well, we have the answer. It's their collective IQ.
More music, the Bob Seska Show.
All right, kicking off another week. Rocky Mountain Mike and this thing. Yeah.
Spray tan, orange skin, and I just wonder when it's gonna end. Big, long, red tie.
Red tie.
He makes me wanna just die. They get their facts wrong again and again. Cause everybody thought he was a self-made man.
Sucker.
Stupid. Yeah.
Gold-rimmed toilet king doesn't understand a single thing. Got his money from his dad. No one knew, and that sure makes me sad. They didn't care that his dad's in the Klan, and everybody thought he was a self-made man.
Rocky Mountain, Mike.
Oh, that was freaking great.
You know what? I don't think we've ever played that one before.
No,
I don't remember playing
that.
That one's a few years old, and I don't remember playing it ever.
If it's new to me, it's new to you.
Yes. In fact,
what?
Yeah, and the time that it's taken since Rocky Mountain Mike sent me that clip, and I'm actually playing it on the show, I've grown a ZZ Top beard. That's how long it's been between submission and airing.
You look a little like Letterman now.
Yeah, Rocky MNTN Mike on Twitter, of course.
Yeah.
So here we go. It's another week, and the bucket of show is overflowing. The fire hose of news is pumping at full capacity.
It sure is. And in a good way, mostly, I would say.
Eric Hirschman, who loves to make with the talking, doesn't he? Eric Hirschman's...
Yes, thank goodness.
Yeah. Yeah, and it wasn't always this way. I mean, obviously past, we've seen Eric Hirschman working for the dark side. He defended Donald Trump in one of the two impeachment trials. But he warned Trump late last year, according to Maggie Haberman of the New York Times, that he needed to return the documents or else. So what does this tell us, Buzz? It tells us that Eric Hirschman,
of guilt.
Exactly right. Hirschman told Trump, therefore Trump knows it was wrong. Therefore Trump knows, that he was breaking the law.
In fact, right after Hirschman told Trump, this is late last year, 2021, after Hirschman told Trump, you keeping these documents at Mar-a-Lago is very, very, very seriously illegal.
Yes.
Trump said, okay, and turned some of them back over to the government.
Exactly.
Not all of them. So he continued to, knowing that it was illegal to do so, he continued to keep some of them.
That's right.
In fact, many of them. And so the fact that Trump knew, this gives us a gift, and that gift is the very hardest thing for a prosecutor to prove in any kind of criminal case, and that is criminal intent.
Exactly.
Did the accused have the intention? Did they willfully, as I believe the law reads, did they willfully break the law?
Mm-hmm.
And Hirschman's testimony, if true, and it appears to be, and there will be more from him on this, underscores that Trump did have awareness. He did willfully violate the law, and he has a consciousness of guilt. And this helps the prosecutors with what is usually the hardest thing for them to prove. Now it's easy as pie.
The other thing is, it's further embosses the notion of obstruction of justice in all of this. Obstruction of justice is probably the most serious of all these crimes that Donald Trump faces in this matter alone. I think, what did we talk about? Up to 20 years in federal prison if he's found guilty of obstruction of justice in this case. And that was all the monkeying around with the files, lying to the FBI. I mean, that's a whole separate thing. Who told them the false information that there were no more documents at Mar-a-Lago? So it's the cover-up as much or more so than the original crime itself Trump.
Yeah, it's generally considered that obstruction is worse, but I put both the crime and the obstruction in this case at equal stature. You know, there are still a lot of people, and I understand where this feeling is coming from. You know, we've all been there, but so many people, so many of our progressive friends are out there saying, ain't nothing going to happen. He's gonna keep getting away with it. He'll find some way, and there will be delays, I promise you. But as I said before, we will reach a point where it is impossible not to charge Trump with crimes. And I think this latest Hirschman, I'm not alone here, this latest Hirschman revelation is the last nail in the coffin. This is the, in my opinion, the tipping point. This is the part where John Oliver really can let down the "we got him" banner.
Right. Well, here's the thing. Here's how I'm looking at this, Buzz. I'm not as concerned about the Department of Justice or Judge Cannon or Judge Deary or anything that's going on in these criminal investigations that will, fingers crossed, lead to indictments, a trial, et cetera, conviction.
Right.
Here's the thing I'm worrying about. You know whose hands these investigations will ultimately land in. You know who's going to be ultimately responsible for whether or not Donald Trump spends the rest of his natural life in prison. It's up to American voters.
Ultimately,
And I think this is not to comfort anybody. In fact, it's even less comforting to me than maybe a slow-moving Department of Justice. If Donald Trump is able to run out the clock through January January 20th, 2025, and if American voters do not deliver another term for Joe Biden or a first term for Democrat X who might run in 2024, if that doesn't happen, Donald Trump will be pardoned on January 20th, 2025. Donald Trump in prison is a matter of us.
I don't want to lull anybody into complacency, but this revelation, this consciousness of guilt, this willing violation of the law, a provision of that law is that he cannot run for public office.
That is true, yeah.
And so, you know, we might not have to worry about this. A pardon, yes. In fact, as Bob has said many times before, and this is true, it's scary and it's true, and we need a lot of people to know this. So if you can help us out with that, that would be great. And that is that if Republicans were to get control of the House, and that's very iffy at this point, but if they were able to get control of the House, immediately there will be investigations in and impeachment of Joe Biden, an investigation of Fauci, the Transportation Secretary Pete Buttigieg. Republicans have, I believe they're up to 7 targets now for investigations and impeachments. So not only would Trump be pardoned in 24, but in 22, it's entirely possible that the investigation, the January 6th investigation, could be brought to an end in an attempt to discredit it.
Oh, yeah. Well, that's obvious. If we don't keep the House this
year. Not to everybody. And that's why we have to keep saying it. I really like that you've focused on that point.
Well, yeah. I think with the January 6th thing, this is obviously another matter that's in our hands, whether or not we continue to give the Democrats a majority in the House. And obviously, gerrymandering and voter suppression and all the big lie laws that cropped up after Donald Trump's ridiculous constitution shattering transition. But at the same time, I still think that those can be overcome with enough energy, enough motivation, enough firepower. And I think that's
exactly
that's what we have to bring this year and in 2 years.
And I think we should continue to set our sights higher. We've just about locked in, just about. We're not quite there, but we're very close to locking in, retaining control of the House.
Yeah.
And it looks pretty good that we're going to increase our majority in the Senate. Mm-hmm. So things are very hopeful here, but only if everybody turns out.
Right.
And as I said also before, it's not, for me, it's not just about beating them. Certainly not just beating them by a little bit. We need to embarrass them.
Yeah.
We need to punish them. We need to crush them. Mm-hmm. We need to minimize them. And the way to do that is with a ridiculous turnout by real sane Americans, of which there seem to be fewer, but we are still the vast majority.
The perception coming out of this election has to be that Donald Trump is a political liability to every single Republican, especially the ones he endorses. And that has to be the message. And whether that happens still obviously remains to be seen. We're on course. I think there's a possibility there. But if we can turn that around and make it an outlier election this year, boy, that'd be great. That'd be a great way to rebottle, or at least partially bottle, Trumpism.
As I understand it, the chances are good for that. Bill Clinton certainly thinks so in a recent interview. It's a very encouraging environment, and I want to go big. I don't want to just beat them. I want to beat them big, and I think we're poised to do that. There's certainly a lot of motivation out there, and you mentioned Republicans and perhaps their faith in their own candidates. You can see how Dr. Oz has been discredited. Poor Herschel Walker. I didn't feel sorry for him at first, but I have the same mixed feelings about him as I do about a couple of guys who used to be very excited about appearing on a radio show. The sad thing, if you haven't seen the tape, Herschel Walker has said, "I'm a country boy and I'm not that smart." That's a quote.
Uh-huh.
"I'm a country boy and I'm not that smart." And referring to Reverend Warnock, who he will meet in a debate on October 15th, he said he will probably embarrass me up there.
Yeah.
And that's the confidence level. I think Herschel Walker's just now figuring out he might very well be screwed here. The Republicans, the party, I think, certainly realizes that, and they put him up, especially Trump. Trump was big on Herschel Walker. And the sad thing is this poor man, this addled individual who's been hit too many times in football and maybe wasn't that well-educated to begin with, is being held up as a candidate by the Republican Party. They are exploiting him because he's a football player and he was they could manipulate him.
Yes.
And as with that radio show, there were guys who were so desperate to be on the show. There were guys with mental and physical infirmities that were so in love with the show that I was on and so desperately wanted to be a part of it that they allowed themselves to be exploited by the host. And this, to me, I'm seeing the same thing over again with the Republicans and Herschel Walker. I've seen this before.
Oh, yes. Coming from radio, we're well familiar with exploitation, disadvantaged people. With Herschel Walker, though, going into this debate, he's establishing expectations. Because he said this about not being a very smart man, if he can manage to get through the debate without falling off the stage and erupting spontaneously into flames or something like that,
he can then lose with dignity.
Yes, he will absolutely. Well, people will say that, oh, well, he defied expectations.
Good luck with that.
Yeah, that's what he's done. This is all about politics. This is someone instructing him to say those things. It was the same thing with George W. Bush in 2004. All he had to do is get up on stage and not choke on his own tongue, and he would win the debate. That's how it all works, unfortunately.
We'll see about that. I didn't feel sorry for Herschel Walker at first because I could see a man who was allowing himself to be exploited in exchange for the spotlight.
Yeah.
He thought, well, these people are treating me like a big deal, so maybe I am a big deal still, even after football.
Yeah.
And it's just now it's just sad because I think with the words, he's going to embarrass me up there. You know, I'm not that smart of a man. This is a guy, I think, who now realizes he's screwed.
Well, ultimately, the broader point here is that if Democrats don't bring the energy, there's nothing Merrick Garland can do in order to stop the House Republicans from investigating, slowing down the process with lawsuits and inquiries and hearings and all the rest of it. Obviously, they will do the committee to investigate the 1-6 committee. Every subpoena, every last document they sought, everything is going to get churned through the Jim Jordan grist mill.
Exactly. And if you remember Benghazi, which I know you do, they'll have each of those hearings 11 times.
Right. By the way, I wanted to mention this, too, regarding the situation with Trump and Judge Dreary, the special master.
Yes, yes. Also important.
Yes. Axios reported that the Trump team suggested Judge Dreary. Did I say Dreary before? Because last week I was saying Judge Dreary. Doesn't matter. The website Dreary, Axios reported that the reason the Trump team suggested Dreary was because the lawyers believed that the judge shared their skepticism of the FBI because he was one of the judges on the FISA court, right, who approved of warrants to surveil Carter Page. So that's all to say that Trump's team is screwing itself. Once again, we're going to put up Judge Dreary because we think he's a friendly, and he's not. He's totally not a friendly. Well,
Both the Justice Department and Trump's lawyers have responded to Judge Dreary's request that they provide guidance on what they'd like to see and how they'd like to see his work proceed.
Mm-hmm.
A number of things happened here. One of them is Trump's side wanted the investigation wrapped up by November 30th. Judge Dreary said, no good, October 7th.
Wow.
That's a loss for Trump there. Judge Dreary also said, okay, Trump lawyers, show me when and where he classified which of these documents. I need to know on each of these documents when and where. And you know, even Trump's lawyers know that he didn't. So this so they're refusing to answer Judge Dreary on this, refusing to answer the judge, saying, no, we want to save that for his defense when he's indicted.
Yes.
So Trump's lawyers are expecting an indictment as much as we are. And that's why there are a lot of our progressive friends out there saying, you know, as I said, it's not going to happen. I understand the source of that skepticism. I cannot stress enough how important it is that we now have consciousness of guilt and that we now have it from Trump's lawyers that the stuff is probably not classified and that they do expect him to be indicted.
They have no evidence that the documents were declassified, and ultimately it really doesn't fucking matter. It doesn't matter whether the documents are declassified. He's up to his eyeballs. He's up to his ridiculous Barney Rubble hair in obstruction of justice when it comes to this. Donald Trump is absolutely screwed. There will be an indictment. There will be a knock at his door one morning, quite early. Donald Trump's
video.
Oh my God, the video. I hope. I wonder if we're going to see him in his hairnet. That's the big question. If he's awakened at 4 o'clock in the morning by the FBI, ready to take him in and book him. I want to see what that look is. Donald Trump at 4 o'clock in the morning, just rolling out of bed. And I'm guaranteeing a hairnet's going to be involved in that scenario somehow.
We're there for it. You mentioned the grand jury. That is Eric Hirschman's next stop. Is grand jury now wants to talk to him. The DOJ grand jury, one of the DOJ grand juries, one of two, wants to talk to Eric Hirschman now. Hirschman, as you know, as you remember from the video with the baseball bat that says justice on the back wall.
Yes.
Eric Hirschman has already spoken with the January 6th committee. Now he's going to be speaking to a DOJ grand jury. You know, this is just getting started. I expect more testimony from Hirschman. And although he did his job and defended Donald Trump in the impeachment and whatever else, in the end, Eric Hirschman came down on the side of democracy. Maybe it was because he knew there was no other choice, and maybe that's not the best way to make that decision, but I'm happy with the result.
Yeah, so the other thing that happened, I think it was right before the weekend, was that Judge Cannon said that Donald Trump's team has to pay 100% of the cost of having this special master, which is
absolutely
outstanding. That's another great little development in all of this. And we've reached the limit of what Judge Cannon will actually do for Donald Trump in exchange for being appointed to the bench.
Well, I think we know that's whatever she can get away with, and I think she knows kind of where those lines are. Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely.
Well, not always, but she's trying.
Yeah. You know, the other thing in all of this, Buzz, and I can't stop thinking about this, is that all of these little details are vital to the case. Obviously, this is the process of justice being served. The problem is that the purpose of this particular lawsuit to get this special master, it's doing the job that Donald Trump expected it to do. Now, things haven't gone Donald Trump's way at every step of this process, but the point is to delay and obstruct. Right. That's Donald Trump's strategy, and insofar as that is his plan and the plan of his Better Call Saul legal team, it's actually kind of working. Because we are. How many weeks are we into the whole Judge Cannon special master issue?
You know, I don't know. It does seem like forever.
It's a couple of weeks,
But the truth is, at least from my perspective, that although he is getting the delays he seeks, they are turning out to be shorter delays than he expected. And as this thing builds momentum and snowballs, and believe me, we've got a fairly large snowball rolling down the hill right now, and it's collecting a lot of snow very quickly. This is about to be an avalanche. That's where we are at this point, as this snow boulder comes tumbling
down. It's a Donald Trump Jr. snow boulder. It's a different kind of snow.
Oh, I see. Well, an extra large razor blade should do the trick, but... listen, it's okay if you're frustrated that the wheels of justice turn so slowly.
Yeah.
But do not bemoan the fact that it moves carefully.
Mm-hmm.
We are fortunate to have a justice system that proceeds carefully. Were you ever charged with anything falsely or otherwise, you would be grateful for that carefulness. And in the case of prosecuting a criminal, we should be grateful for that carefulness, because it makes sure that we get them. It's a way to make sure that we get them.
This is so crucial for so many different reasons. And one of the reasons, in a broad stroke sense, is that if this prosecution or one of the several prosecutions are successful against Donald Trump, That's a huge chunk taken out of the imperial presidency, out of the notion yes. that the president is above the law, that the president has virtually unlimited powers. It's a huge chunk taken out of that notion.
And the erosion has already begun. Polls are showing that Republicans are slowly but surely falling off. I predicted this as it happened with Watergate, and as I also predicted, the public runs well behind on these things. Yep. So you're only seeing the beginnings of this, but expect that to get to a snowball point as well. Yeah. The Trump supporters falling out of line. Not all of them. 15% will stay with him forever, as we've said before. But a lot of them will wear off.
Yeah. During the Bush years, I remember us talking a lot about the unitary executive theory. How, you know, the buck stops at the presidency, but the presidency resides over everything. And so, therefore, is immune. And this, we never would have guessed in a million years during the George W. Bush presidency that there would be this many prosecutions against an ex-president. And here we are. And I think that's an extraordinarily positive development. I think there's only good to come out of this. Even if the prosecutions ultimately fail, the fact of the matter is that they're moving forward with these things in an unprecedented way. This has not happened ever before. In that sense, as I've been saying, the care that Merrick Garland is taking, the care that the FBI is taking with all of this is crucial, because what they're doing is blazing a trail. They're doing something for the very first time, establishing a precedent, establishing a method to all of this that will hopefully be duplicated if subsequent presidents are as criminally liable as Donald Trump ends up being. And so in that sense, we've got just the right people establishing the precedent. What we're seeing here is the way it should be done.
Yes, exactly. And be glad about the careful.
Exactly. It's all well and good to maybe push Merrick Garland to do your thing on Twitter. Sure, he's not going to see your tweets. I'm just saying, I hate to break it to you.
And if he did, he wouldn't care.
Yeah, Merrick Garland is not doom scrolling Twitter looking for all of the negative remarks about himself. That's not happening. But if you want to do that, if you feel the need to push Merrick Garland on Twitter to speed this process up, feel free. But at the end of the day, realize that the pace at which this is going is ultimately a good thing, because it shows meticulousness, it shows professionalism, it shows an adherence to the rule of law, it shows a care and a craftsmanship that need to be applied at this level of investigation. We're talking about an ex-president.
It shows a fear of screwing up this democracy, and that's a healthy fear.
Exactly right, exactly right. So, in a little bit here, you know who I've let out of his cigar box, Buzz?
Oh, is he back?
Yeah, I made the mistake. I went into the closet, and I was like, you know, bad for Tiny Trump. I need to take him for a walk. I needed to change his cedar chips at the bottom of the cigar box.
Oh, right, I forget, yeah.
So, I went to do that, and god damn it, first of all, Tiny Trump bites. He's a biter. He's a little bit bitey, so you got to watch your fingers when you're grabbing for Tiny Trump to let him out of his cigar box. Well, it turns out Tiny Trump not only bit me, but then ran off to do a rally in Ohio. And it was one of those rallies where you look at it and you go, we're doomed. We're doomed as a nation.
He didn't exactly run. See, he doesn't like exercise, and he never has used that little wheel you got him. So
No, he stays far, far away from that. He's got this crazy theory that he only gets a certain number of heartbeats in his lifetime. And if he uses them all up on that wheel, then how is he going to do his rallies?
Well, he thinks the spinning wheel causes cancer.
That's exactly it. That's exactly why. I'm so glad you helped me solve that mystery.
All figured out now. So Tiny Trump coming up.
He was doing, at the Ohio rally, he was doing one of his best impressions of like a traveling faith healer, like a traveling snake oil salesman.
Elmer Gantry, for those who remember that movie.
Yeah, he went off on this whole rant about how terrible the United States is, you know, because of American exceptionalism. And he did this whole, like, this is what's wrong, this list of grievances with this weird, mysterious music, this stirring kind of emotional music playing under him. This is a first for a political address. I've never seen this ever before.
Yeah.
Yeah. Really creepy. But I've said, Buzz, haven't I said for years now that the Republicans are kind of co-opting that faith-healing, revivalist, tent-revival kind of idea?
Yeah, I definitely see that parallel, but I'm going to say they're copying Hitler at this point.
Right. Well, that's another thing. Did Hitler even use a musical accompaniment with some of his remarks? I know what Hitler, Hitler used to use.
Van Halen wouldn't give him the rights. So.
Van Halen?
I don't know. I'll be here all hour.
Okay. All right. Well, so we're going to play a little bit of a clip of Tiny Trump at the rally with the weird music playing behind him. And just
and
a,
more.
A long series of lies. Plus, I think we have some viewer mail. We're going to read some viewer mail in, here in a second, which we normally do on the after party. But, hell, let's do one today.
This is important. This is, everybody needs to hear this.
Yeah. Plus, Tucker Carlson is joining Matt Walsh's crusade against Children's Hospital. Oh, I say again, Children's Hospital is now the enemy of the red hat right.
Who will protect the children?
Talk about that. Oh my God, this story. You know, it's sometimes I look at these stories that I land on and try to cover as a narrative throughout many shows or many articles or whatever. And this is one that depresses the hell out of me because I know exactly where it's going. I know where this is leading. It's almost like knowing the future before it happens.
Do what I do. Have nightmares, and it makes this seem so much more pleasant.
Yes. I'll add to my list of nightmares. Thank you very much. Okay, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to talk about some of our brand new Patreon subscribers. And in order to do that, I'm opening up my Patreon app, my most excellent Patreon app. So I want to welcome brand new subscribers to our Patreon page. Glenn Cairn Murray, thank you very much for subscribing, Glenn Cairn. Jeff Yeasel, New Life Health Foods. That's a new one. Cool. Signed up for $5 a month, the Shadow Docket level. Nice. Dave Bakeski. I think that's how you pronounce his last name. Mark Carter is signed up at $15 a month. Thank you so much, Mark. Wow. Also, same with Marsha Ford, signed up at $15 a month. It's crazy. This incredible. Is wonderful. Yeah, Jason Chilton signed up at $5 a month. Thank you, Jason. Robert M. Heschel signed up at $1 a month. We love our $1 a month subscribers. Sure. Thank you for doing that. And Amy Fisher is signed up at $5 a month. And we thank all of you for helping support this show on our Patreon page.
Absolutely.
BobZeskaShow.com. And so here's one of the things that you're going to get as a bonus for signing up. Not only are you supporting this fully independent podcast, we couldn't do this without your support. But in exchange for your support, we're also going to give you all kinds of bonus content. And one of the most popular bonus items on our Patreon page is, of course, the Shadow Docket podcast. That's once again found at BobSeskaShow.com. It's a completely unfiltered, commercial-free continuation of all the fun and news. It's act three of the show. So if you're only hearing the free portion of the show, you're missing like the final third of it. You wouldn't watch like six episodes of a streaming television show and then miss the last two, would you? No, of course not. No. And by the way, it's only going to cost you pennies per episode. The Shadow Docket drops every Tuesday and Thursday after the free shows, and they're only going to cost you $5 per month. So for $5 a month, every Tuesday, every Thursday, you get a brand new Shadow Docket show. And you're, as I said before, you're going to be supporting this here podcast. So don't miss out. Again, that's BobSeskaShow.com. Bookmark it, send it to all your friends, and we thank you in advance.
CarMax is putting peace of mind back in car shopping by putting you in the driver's seat to find a ride that's right for you. Because at CarMax, we believe you shouldn't just settle for a car. You should love your car. That's why every car we sell is CarMax certified quality, so you can be sure with upfront pricing that's the same for every customer. So don't settle. Find love at first drive and start shopping now at CarMax.com. CarMax, the way car buying should be.
What makes a life a good one? Is it the adventure you have? Or the friends you find along the way? Maybe it's pursuing your passion while striving to protect, defend, and save what you believe in every single day. So, what makes a life a good one? In the Coast Guard, we think it's all of the above and more. But you'll have to find out for yourself. Visit GoCoastGuard.com to learn more.
Seska. All-time favorites all day long.
Yeah. We had a secret place. It's been a long, long time since I've been back there again. I'd love to meet you there by a beach down by Belmarsh.
Oh, yeah. Brand new single from one of my favorites. This is the Metal Birds. That's Birds with a Y in there. And this is a song called Good Harbor. Link in the description under this episode at bobsesca.com. So just go to bobsesca.com, find this episode dated 9/20/22, and scroll on down. You'll find a link to support the Metal Birds. Oh, yeah. So good. And by the way, you're going to be hearing this song, the full length version of this song, at the end of the free portion of today's show, because that's what we started doing in lieu of the Indie Music Countdown, which we're semi-retiring, I think. We're playing all the music at the end of the free portion of the show. So stick around, more content after we say bye-bye at the end of the show. Also, bobsesca.com/music to submit your work to the show. Thank you so much for doing that.
That is an awesome song.
It is really, really good. Also, coming up here in a few minutes, we're going to be wrapping up our Seth Adam week with the lead track off of his brand new album, which is called Fits and Starts and Stops. The track is called Fraud, which we originally rolled out on Friday's After Party. We're going to give it another spin later on here on the show. Okay. So, let's see. You want to open the mailbag? Let's open the mailbag.
Yeah, let's do it.
They're kind of emails. Emails.
We get your letters every day.
Sometimes DMs.
Mailman. Mail today.
It's not a mailman either. It's the internet that sends them. So, yeah.
Well, my text device, I actually get a doorbell ring. So that's how I know.
Oh, nice. Okay,
the
gotcha.
Mail is here.
You got it.
A viewer writes, mm-hmm. Hey, Buzz. Just listening to the Bob Seska Show now, and you mentioned the importance of local school board elections.
Yes.
Now, that's true. We've been talking about the importance of the down-ballot races. Now, we all have to research and pay attention and make sure we're voting for the right people, all the way down to school board and the like. Well, mm-hmm. This writer goes on to say, you may want to mention that if people are not informed about the candidates, they should check with the local teachers' union endorsements. So look up your local teachers' union, should you have one, online. He writes, many NEA locals produce the Apple ballot, which shows their endorsement. Keep up the great work. Signed, Jack, but not that Jack. So I thought,
okay,
you know, because we were talking about the importance of, and a lot of people are frustrated because I don't know how to research my candidates. I don't know mm-hmm. who these people are. This hopefully is helpful. And school boards, you know, is where we're censoring books and suppressing LGBTQ kids and so much more. So if you want to put a stop to that nonsense, you'll want to vote for the right candidates in your school board elections. And there's a tip for doing so. I thought it was a great tip.
Yes. Thank you so much, Jack. And I'm so glad you weren't that other Jack that you're talking about. So that's good news. I was so afraid. I was like, oh my God, is it going to be that Jack? And it turns out not that Jack. It's this Jack. So thank you for that.
I blocked that Jack.
So yeah, by the way, speaking of local elections, on tomorrow's interview show, yes. I'm going to be talking with Gabby Goldstein. She's the co-founder of Sister District to discuss the outsized role of state legislatures, a key battleground that Democrats have often ignored. So we're going to be talking about state and local elections tomorrow. We had Rachel Bitticoffer last week to talk about the congressional elections, and this week it's all state and local elections. To me, that's the real action. That's where all the horrifying things are happening at this point. So, so this is all great, and I'm looking forward to talking to Gabby Goldstein on tomorrow's show.
Indeed.
So it's going to be
fun. The Wednesday show.
Yes, indeed. So, meantime, as I was saying before the break, Tiny Trump got loose, got out of his cigar box.
Oh, boy.
Took one of those red bandanas, put a bunch of stuff in it, tied it to the end of a stick, and then hitchhiked, rode the rails out to Ohio, and ended up doing a rally out there where something very, very bizarre and unprecedented happened. Part of the rally, he was joined by some music underneath, which, you know what? We've seen this in campaign commercials for years and years and years. This has been something that's always happened. Music has always been a part of campaign rallies as well.
Right.
But never has this kind of music been accompanied with this kind of message.
Never while the candidate was talking, you know, for theatrical effect.
Right. So here is a little bit of Tiny Trump, in case you missed it, doing a list of grievances with a musical score, his grievances score. Apparently, this is QAnon music, I think.
Cusack, we call it.
Cusack, okay.
Yeah, it's like Muzak, but it's Q music.
Yeah, John Cusack really is offended by that nickname.
I'm sure, rightly so.
Yeah, but the other thing is the audience of Red Hats were doing a simultaneous gesture in the air. Mm-hmm. They weren't doing the Sieg Heil Hitler salute.
Not quite.
They were doing a one finger, we're number one kind of gesture up in the air.
The index finger, exactly. Yeah. It did bear, and I've seen it alongside pictures of Hitler rallies. There was an eerie resemblance, but it was a single finger, the index finger held high.
Al Sparks tweeted that it's symbolic of them sticking their fingers up Donald Trump's butthole, something like that. But in all seriousness, I think it's a Q gesture. I think it relates to the "Where We Go One, We Go All"
exactly.
slogan.
Yeah, exactly. And supposedly that was the music that's playing in the background here. It is. There's a song called "Where We Go One, We Go All."
Oh Jesus!
And this is a Muzak sort of instrumental version of that song, and that, along with some very cue things Trump was saying that night and prior to that night lately, there was a time where he tolerated cue. He tried to kind of ignore and not, you know, go one way or the other. He said all he ever said about them was that, well, they're against pedophiles. but now he's gone full Q. He's embraced. He's been talking their talk. He's been wearing a Q pin.
Yeah.
And as we saw from hundreds of raised index fingers, Q was very much in the crowd. Q merchandise is very much back at Trump rallies after having been sort of banned for a while because Trump was trying to disassociate from those crazies.
Mm-hmm.
Now he's embracing them wholeheartedly because he's scared.
So without any further ado, here's Tiny Trump and his rally thing.
But now we are a nation in decline.
Such a hype voice.
We are a failing nation.
It's very small.
We are a nation that has the highest inflation in 50 years. And where the stock market finished the worst first half of the year since 1872.
It's probably a lie, but I wanted to add here, too, that Donald Trump presided over one of the most volatile stock markets that we've ever seen. There were numerous occasions when the stock market would decline 1,000-plus points in a single day, in some cases in a single week. This used to happen over and over again, especially November through December of 2018 was particularly bad. We obviously had the gigantic crash of the stock market, the crash of the economy because of Donald Trump's incompetent response to COVID and all the rest of it. So he can fuck right off with this one.
Plus, when you quote the year 1872, then people believe you. It sounds credible.
Yes, exactly. No one wants to go look it up. No one wants to do the research. And he's seizing upon that. He's exploiting that.
And besides, it was 1873.
Energy costs in its history. We are no longer energy independent or energy dominant.
That's not true either. That's not true.
No, not true.
We've been energy independent for a long time now, since Obama, at least. So I just wanted to throw that in. He likes to say this, but it's totally not true.
We were just 2 short years ago. We
so
are a
creepy.
Nation that is begging Venezuela, Saudi Arabia, and many others for...
Oh, wait, who's begging Saudi Arabia? Who's begging Saudi Arabia? Didn't he just do a golf tournament at Bedminster where Saudi Arabia were the sponsors?
Didn't one of his sons just accept $2 billion from the Saudis?
Yes, Jared Kushner got $2 billion from the Saudis. It's probably the Saudis who have the nuclear information on Israel, is what we're assuming that
That's
it's Israel.
That's my fear.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah.
Please, please, please help us, Joe Biden says. Yet we have more liquid gold right under our feet than any other country. We are a nation that is consumed by the radical left's Green New Deal. Yet everyone knows that the Green New Deal will lead to our destruction.
No, it won't.
Everyone knows that.
Yeah, no, no. Doing nothing is going to lead to our destruction, you ass.
Right.
We are a nation whose leaders are demanding all electric cars, even though they can't go far, cost too much, and whose batteries are produced in China with materials only available in China, when unlimited amounts of gasoline is available inexpensively in the United States, but it's not available in China. We are a nation that ended oil exploration and production in the United States, just as the price of oil
none of that is true. None
of that is high.
No, shut the fuck up. I'm so done with Tiny Trump.
It's American carnage, Bob. It's American carnage.
It is American carnage in just 2 short years. I noticed, I mean, even without modifying his voice to sound like Tiny Trump, sorry to blow the illusion for everybody, but he has a really high-pitched voice, doesn't he?
The fake whisper is part of the act.
Yeah, it is. It is. But, I mean, the act is so manipulative. He's screwing with the minds of dummies.
Yeah, exactly. Well, he said in the 2016 campaign, "I love the poorly educated."
Yes,
that's
right.
A quote. That's a direct and exact quote. And years before that, he said, "If I were to ever run for president, I think I would run as a Republican because," and now's where the wording gets fuzzy, but he basically said, "because they're stupid people, easier to maneuver."
Yeah, yeah.
To manipulate.
Exactly. Well, and that has the benefit of being true. And this is another example of it, that he's able to get these people to do a gesture in support of a bullshit movement that was invented by some kid in the Philippines. I'm talking about QAnon.
Right, Q. Yeah.
It doesn't exist. None of what they say is real. And he's manipulated all these people into believing this phony baloney horse shit.
More Q evidence. He did use that exact term. He said, the one, we're one. He was using the language of Q to say that. He referred to it as a movement. One movement were the exact words. One movement. And that's what they consider themselves. And by movement, he clearly is referring to the Q crowd.
Well, meantime, speaking of manipulating people who don't have the brain capacity to be able to tell the difference between right and wrong, truth, fiction, etc.
Right.
Tucker Carlson has now joined Walsh's crusade against fucking Children's Hospital, of all places. And it's entirely based on a lie. It's a lie that was perpetuated by this group Libs of TikTok and then picked up by Matt Walsh, where Matt Walsh is using his platform as, sorry to report, an extraordinarily popular podcast. Matt Walsh's podcast is listened to by a lot of people, and it's highly ranked on all the various podcast platforms, which, by the way, now have partial responsibility if something terrible happens to Children's Hospital. And quite honestly, the assessment for me, at least, is it's only a matter of time before one of these wing nuts does something. And already we've had one FBI investigation that's led to an arrest of someone who's calling in bomb threats to Children's Hospital. Right. There have been threats called
Trump
in
supporter.
To members of the staff of Children's Hospital, this location in Boston in particular, because now Matt Walsh, Tucker Carlson, et cetera, are saying that they're mutilating children in that hospital. Counterfactually, obviously, I mean, I don't need to emphasize the fact that what they're saying is a lie about Children's Hospital.
But
they're basing this stochastic terrorism on a lie that is built out of just raw transphobia.
For the purpose of generating violence.
Yes. Essentially what they're saying is the Children's Hospital is doing gender reassignment surgeries on children there, which is not happening. It doesn't happen on anyone who's under the age of 18. They don't even give them, what do they call them, puberty-blocking hormones prior to the age of 18. These are things that don't happen, and yet Tucker Carlson is jumping on board this bandwagon with libs of TikTok, for God's sake. Might as well be QAnon, as far as I'm concerned.
Well, it virtually is. Yeah. Qs are telling each other that this is what Boston's Children's Hospital does. It assumes that all children are born trans, which is also not true.
It's a lie.
But it just shows how ridiculous and insane all of this is. And we may never recover 15% of the American population. I was half joking months, maybe years ago, when I said 15% of the American population is and always will be insane.
Yeah.
And that you'll never win that 15%. Well, that's about where we are on Q supporters right now. Mm-hmm. At least 15% of the country believe in all of the Q conspiracy theories.
Yeah.
And it's frightening. And yes, Tucker Carlson, and I want to say just a word about him. And man, I saw Ted Koppel just annihilate Sean Hannity the other clip of that. But Tucker Carlson is so evil, and like Trump, continues to double down and keeps making it worse and worse and worse. This man is so dangerous and should not even be on the air anywhere at all. It's terrifying. If you thought Tucker Carlson was bad to begin with, he's gotten so much worse.
Oh, yes. Here's Tucker Carlson on his show, I believe this was last night, engaging in this jihad against Children's Hospital. Now, the important part of this clip happens at the very end of it. Stay tuned. This is very, actually, you know what? I'm going to advance ahead to the last part of it. I'm not going to torture you with the whole thing. I just noticed that it's 2 minutes long. I'm not going to play 2 minutes of Tucker Carlson on this.
No, thank you.
Let's just listen to the last section of it, because that's the most important part of it. You already know that what he's saying is a lie. The allegations against Children's Hospital are a lie. It's 100% disinformation. So here's what Tucker Carlson says as a call to action.
We used to say, oh, our society doesn't care about children. That's not what this is. What you're seeing is a society that hates children. You would have to hate children in order to sexualize them, because sexualizing children screws them up for life. Ask anyone to whom it's happened. Period. No one should put up with this. No parent should put up with this for 1 second, no matter what the law says. Your duty, your moral duty, is to defend your children. This is an attack on your children, and you should fight back.
This is an attack on your children, and you should fight back.
Fight back.
Yes, that is one of the most popular shows on all of cable news. He is using his primetime 8 to 9 p.m. slot to say that Children's Hospital is attacking your children, and you should fight back against a hospital that treats children. So in fighting back against a hospital that treats children in order to protect children, you're attacking children in order to protect children.
Right.
That's and what happens. Them. Ultimately, the consequence of this will be dead children over something that is 1,000% a lie, that children are being sexualized, that children are being mutilated, that he says earlier in this clip that I didn't play, he says that they are cutting the breasts off of young girls, all kinds of grisly details about this meat grinder that is allegedly Children's Hospital.
To incite Americans to fight.
Exactly. And so we're talking about an audience that is already at a fever pitch, that already has an itchy trigger finger, looking for excuses to fight something, doesn't matter what. But if it's something that they can wrap their racist, transphobic brains around, then they're going to fight that enemy. They're going to go after those people. And it's just a matter of time. I was saying it before. I did a whole rant about this on the after party. The terrifying thing in this story is we know how this ends up. And it will end up in utter fucking tragedy. And it'll end up with Matt Walsh, Tucker Carlson, libs of TikTok going, "Who, us? We didn't do anything. Right. We're just saying."
That was Antifa.
Free speech. Yes, we're just exercising our free speech. Same, you know what? Same thing goes for Apple Podcasts and Stitcher and iHeartRadio.
They should be held criminally liable if and when this happens.
Yes, well, that speaks to, what is it, what's the section of the law that talks about?
The one we need to change, yes.
Yes, exactly. I forget the name of the law itself.
Yeah,
but
I know what you mean, though, yeah.
Yeah, where the website can't be held liable for the comments that are posted on the website, and that keeps Apple Podcasts from getting sued or held criminally liable.
There are constitutional limits to free speech, and I believe they could be applied here. This is incitement on the part of Tucker Tucker Carlson, and facilitating that, in my opinion, by social media is also a crime. But this is an incitement to violence. This is telling parents to stand up, to fight for their children over something that is absolutely, positively, 100% a lie.
Section 230 of the Communications Decency Act.
You go.
There you go.
That's, it's the old Section 230.
Hello,
I have it right
brain.
Here.
Yeah.
I forgot. I keep that in my hip pocket.
Yeah, you have a copy folded up in your pocket there, Buzz?
Exactly,
yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, all right. Well, a lot of good it did. Thank you. Okay.
Sorry, I forgot I had it.
All right, let's take another break, and we're going to come back and talk about the fake brochures that were given to migrants to trick them into getting on these chartered flights to Martha's Vineyard and the Naval Observatory.
I can't wait to get into DeSantis. I can't wait to get into this.
These awful people, they don't get to call themselves Christians anymore. Obviously, they still will. But this is so un-Christ-like. I mean, obviously, I don't think I'm breaking news with that observation, but who would Jesus rendition to another state as a prank to own the libs?
Yeah. Remember that time Jesus flew some brown people to the homes of some white people? Remember that?
Yeah.
That was fun.
This was a KKK thing, in all seriousness.
Oh, God, yes. I said it in my initial tweet. When this news broke, I said it smells of racism.
Yes. Well, the KKK did this very thing. It was what? The reverse Freedom Riders.
Right. They would, yes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. They would transport black people into white northern neighborhoods and just leave them there.
Yeah. Right? You want to free the slaves here? Have some.
So that's Ron DeSantis. That's your governor taking ideas from the Ku Klux Klan. That's
and
how far.
The law in the process.
Unbelievable. All right. One last break. Back with more show after this.
Yeah.
Bob Seska plays more music.
Talk on to others as you'd have done to you. That's just a promise to walk out the door.
Oh yeah, Fits and Starts and Stops. That's the name of this album. It's brand new from Seth Adam, and this is the lead track off it called Fraud. Yeah, this is one you're going to want to buy, and you're going to want to pay attention to the words in particular.
And that song's pretty appropriate for what we're about to discuss.
Yeah, you will love this album. Oh man, Seth is one of the best. SethAdam.com to support Seth Adam, of course. Everywhere you get your digital music and yeah, so good. All right, so so happy to have been able to premiere this album here on the show and to
absolutely
roll out a bunch of songs from it.
Yeah. I said it today on Twitter. I think this guy's headed for stardom.
Absolutely,
yeah, I really do. Listen, I was sort of humming along with your jingle there as we were coming back, and I was reminded that I do sometimes walk around the house singing, and I won't put you through that, but I walk around the house singing all hit music all day long, the Bob Seska Show.
Yeah, and I was mentioning to Kimberly this morning, I said, you know what, next year I'm getting jingles for you, Buzz. I'm getting a jingle for Jody and David and Kimberly.
You get a jingle.
There'll be jingles for everybody. I love that part of doing a show like this. I love the jingles and the elements. Duh, can you tell? All right, so moving along here with our Tuesday show. The migrants were fooled into getting on these airplanes with fake brochures that were
printed. They were lied
to. Yeah, mm-hmm. These fake brochures promised 8 months cash assistance, food, job training / placement, help with housing, and more. Plus, there are rumors today of another flight that's headed to Biden's house in Delaware.
I wouldn't be surprised. I know that we learned overnight that there are more flights underway or in process. We have film, we have video rather, of a flight that landed at the Bob Sykes Airport near Oskaloosa, Florida, overnight. That plane had no markings. Daniel Ulfelder, who's running for Attorney General here in Florida, a progressive Democratic lawyer, was on the scene with a video camera, was detained by the county sheriff's office acting on behalf of Governor DeSantis. They ID'd him and detained him for a bit before returning his ID and letting him go. But he got video of this plane that flew from who knows where, landed at Bob Sykes Airport with no tail number, with no identification on this plane whatsoever. All the police, all the sheriff's deputies would tell him is that it was a chartered flight.
Let's be clear about who these people are. I'm talking specifically about the migrants. The Republicans, specifically Ted Cruz, Ron DeSantis, Greg Abbott, and all the rest of the bigots and assholes who are engaged with us. The children who think that this is such a clever prank against the libs, against migrants. This is a way to stir up the base right before the election. They're exactly. running to their right. They're running scared. This indicates that the Republicans are frightened that they're going to lose this crucial midterm election, and they very well might. But we're not talking about drug kingpins racing across the border in the dark of night or swimming across the Rio Grande or something like that. We're not talking about criminals. We're talking about, in the cases of these migrants that are being flown off to God knows where, Naval Observatory, Martha's Vineyard, maybe Biden's house, etc. We're talking about people who are escaping with their families from persecution, from death, from civil war, who are desperate to get to the United States, the land of the free and the home of the brave, a place where they can live without fear of being persecuted, live without fear of being executed in the dark of night, having their children murdered in front of them, and all the rest of it. They're looking for asylum from all of that. And what do they get when they arrive here? They get pain and anguish and manipulation. They become punchlines in a prank being played by bigots and racists.
And you know what else?
Yeah.
They were here legally. Legally,
yes,
they were here.
Exactly.
They were snatched from a refugee center in Texas,
in
San Antonio, to be specific.
Yeah.
They were lured by a lie. They were lured into a plane and taken to another state. I believe that's a crime on multiple levels.
Yeah.
That is a local, state, and federal violation.
Mm-hmm.
DeSantis, if he's afraid of anything right now politically, it should be that he may be going to prison over this.
Yeah.
And as a lot of our folks know already, a Texas sheriff, backed by other local officials, including a judge, are investigating DeSantis for this stunt.
Yeah.
This is great. I mean, if nobody will act, this sheriff will, and he's got a judge and others, prosecutors, to back him up.
Mm-hmm.
Watch this space, because we're not done with Mr. DeSantis yet.
Yeah.
He's going to pay for this. This was, as you said, it was cruel. It was a bully stunt.
Yeah.
It was a bully prank. It was something only a punk would do. It was done at taxpayer expense. These were legal migrants. This couldn't get any worse.
Yeah.
And he sent them somewhere that, although it provides services for immigrants, wasn't prepared for this many people to arrive at once, because that doesn't normally happen. And they were given no heads up that it was coming. This is the biggest jerk stunt that's ever been conducted. And I hope it has the political effect here in Florida that I expect. Democratic challenger Charlie Crist, who would like to be Florida's governor again, has already launched his own investigation.
Yeah.
And using the Public Records Act, we have a great sunshine law here in Florida that opens such records to the public. And he's already acquired records on the over $12,000 per person DeSantis sent to send those folks to Martha's Vineyard. This is a cruel, punky, and racist stunt, and it must be punished criminally and politically.
Yeah, stunt is the right word for it. The last remaining policy, I mean, because the entire Republican Party is all about trolling and owning the libs and being unforgivable bullies. Yeah, exactly right. But there is no other policy but, okay, we're going to take these people who have hit rock bottom and are looking for a better life and are trying to enter the country legally, as you said, Buzz, and yet they're they're being seized, flown all across the country, and they're used as pawns in this stunt because the Republican Party is worried about losing the election. So in the meantime, keep an eye, as you were saying, Buzz, keep an eye on Bexar County, Texas, and their sheriff, Javier Salazar. That's the guy who's investigating all of this.
I saw his news conference. He was incredible. I'm really excited about this.
He said, I believe people need to be held accountable for it to the extent possible. At this point, I am not able to definitively say here's the statute that they broke, either federal, state, or local. But what I can
very careful.
Yes, yeah. But what I can tell you is that it's wrong. Just from a human rights perspective, what was done to these folks is wrong. It is unchristian. It is unethical. It is un-everything that is good. It is the opposite of everything that is good. You will never see. A lot of people like Bill Maher like to draw the false equivalence. He was doing it again Friday night. Well, Trump might be bad, but I see these school districts that are saying blah, blah, blah about trans people. No, it's completely different. There is no equivalence between what the Republican Party is doing and what the Democratic Party is doing. And I could run through a list of 1,000 things that indicate that difference. And meantime, I like Stone Kettle's idea. Everyone knows Stone Kettle on Twitter. He said, they should set up a welcome station on the grounds of the Naval Observatory where they should process each immigrant as they get off the Republican buses, grant them immediate citizenship, register them to vote, and use money earmarked for red states to feed, clothe, and house them until they're established. And that's a great fucking idea. It's a wonderful idea.
I don't know if it can be done, but yeah, it's nice to hear. Anyway, we should be grateful for public servants such as this sheriff, this Bexar County sheriff.
This is a bit by Friend Dog Studios. This is written, produced, and edited by Ben Oxier and Brian Huther, with Ben Oxier playing Jesus, but not just any Jesus, Republican Jesus. This is perfect.
Truly, I say unto you, whoever welcomes one of these little ones in my name might be letting in a murderer or a drug. Let's get her to a detention center, you know, so we can figure out what's going on.
It's like the music playing behind Trump the other day.
I was hungry and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty and you gave me something to drink. And behold, now I'm all lazy and entitled. You shouldn't have done that. Do unto others as you suspect they might want to do unto you. What is a man profited if he gain the whole world but lose his soul? A lot. He has profited a lot. One soul for the whole world, that is an amazing deal. Why do you look at the speck of dust in your brother's eye but ignore the plank in your own? Because of her emails. Yes. God. If a man strikes you on the right cheek, turn to him and shoot him. That is the law. If you want to be perfect, go. Sell all the possessions that you have and give the money to a solid mutual fund. By this, they will know that you are my disciples. That you say, Merry Christmas! Christ! Christmas! That's my name in there, and I put it in there because I wanted it in there so we could all celebrate Big Boy Jesus' birthday time! Okay? Okay!
Rabbi!
Okay.
Rabbi, surely you can heal me.
My child, of course I could. But who would pay for it?
I don't understand. I don't have any money.
Yes, it is a sad story. But it does not make me responsible. It is super duper easy for a rich man to enter the kingdom of heaven. The richer, the better, really. Maybe get a solid gold house, just to be sure. Love your neighbor as yourself. Unless you are better than your neighbor, then tell them that they're weird and you do not want to bake them a cake. You have heard it said, thou shalt not commit adultery. But I say to you, any man who looks upon a woman with lust in his heart should go ahead and do what he's gotta do.
Lord, your followers grow hungry and we have only this fish and bread.
Oh, sweet.
And then he runs off with the fish and bread. So that is a wonderful, wonderful bit. Republican Jesus.
That's it.
And so realistic. So incredibly realistic. Well, yeah.
You know, and this has really always been the difference between Democrats and Republicans in ideology, I guess. And that is, and you and I have talked about the fact that this was first best summed up by Ebenezer Scrooge and Charles Dickens' A Christmas Carol. he epitomized the Republican Party. Are there no poor houses, he asked. Right. This is the Republican attitude then. Even though it wasn't a Democratic and Republican party in ye olde England, it is the ideological difference between these two parties, and it has been forever. It's worse now.
Yes, and we would be remiss if we didn't give additional credit to John Fugelsang for making a lot of those points himself over the years. He's one of the best. So if you don't follow John, you must do that now, starting right now. Okay, so, very, very funny little side note here regarding Donald Trump. Donald Trump was trolling Joe Biden on, what's Donald Trump's app? It's called Troth Central.
Troth Central.
There it is.
Troth Central, yes.
Yes, so Donald Trump said he had a picture of the Queen's funeral in the church. And he said, this is what's happened to America in just 2 short years. No respect. However, a good time for a president to get to know the leaders of certain third world countries. If I were president, they wouldn't have sat me back there. Okay, so in the picture, they've got an arrow pointing to where Joe Biden was sitting.
Toward the back of the church.
He said, if I were president, they wouldn't have sat me back there, and our country would be much different than it is right now. And then he added, he quote trothed himself. And said, in real estate, like in politics and in life, location is everything. You know, that's
all
funny.
All about the real estate, yeah.
Yeah. Funny coming from a guy who was seated 4,382 miles from the front row, which is the distance from Palm Beach to London, England. So that's absolutely where Donald Trump was. Donald Trump was 4,000 miles back from the front row of the funeral.
And this just in, multiple reliable media sources are reporting today that Queen Elizabeth is still dead.
Still dead. About that?
Yeah. We'll keep you posted.
Oh, my God. Okay, well, lots more to come here on the Shadow Docket portion of the show coming up here in just a few minutes. Let's see. Oh, a bunch of Republicans have already refused to say if they'll accept the results of the election. So get ready, fuckery on the way. What did I say on the Stephanie Miller show the day after the 2020 election? I did my my Russert impression and held up a sign that said, fuckery, fuckery, fuckery. And that's what we can expect after
it
this.
It continues. And I have some extra fuckery to add to that.
Oh, so you've brought your own fuckery.
Oh, yeah. Everybody gets such fuckery. You get a fuckery and you get a fuckery.
So lots of fuckery coming up on the Shadow Docket portion of the show. Yeah. Of course, you can find that at BobSeskaShow.com or Patreon.com/BobSeskaShow. Or if you're feeling lazy, just go to BobSeska.com and click the Patreon link right below the logo. And it'll take you to our Patreon page where if you sign up for $5 a month, the Shadow Docket level, choose that level on that page. When you go to BobSeskaShow.com, it's right there. It's easy to find. Just choose that level, sign up for $5 a month, go back to that page and listen to the Shadow Docket, where there will be lots and lots of Republican fuckery that we're going to be talking about. So that's coming up in a little bit. Plus, I think we've got some promising poll results that we're going to talk about.
Oh, good.
Also, we may discuss whether or not the pandemic is over. This is a controversial topic, huh?
A little bit.
We're going to get into that for sure. Plus, indicted con man Steve Bannon is opposed to curing cancer.
Right.
We'll talk about that. And this weirdo candidate in Utah named Linda Paulson, who's decided to put out a rap song when she should go nowhere near rapping.
She's terminally white.
Yes. She's not even allowed to wrap a present. She should go nowhere near anything that is in the vicinity of wrapping. And we're going to play a little of that coming up here on the Shadow Docket. Yeah, you know, the weird thing is, she's probably going to win. She'll probably win her election. All right. See you over there, folks. Bye-bye.
More fun. More music. The Bob Seska Show. Thank you.
It's been a long, long time since I've been back there again. I'd love to meet you there by a beach down by the lake, looking at you, just looking at me. I knew we would always be alright. We watched the waves roll across the shore. We never thought about tomorrow. When rain would come, we'd hide ourselves away and get closer. Summer came and went. What did
just an avenue to finding more.
deliver empty words in return. So superficial, just a pacify. Fooling all the people with your magic, floating in the air like you're a god, wrapped up in your patriotic plastic. Underneath it all, you're just a fraud. You sell the promise of a fortune to those who would believe your every word. A hollow figure on the stage of the world, a phony savior to observe. Some charlatan proclaiming he's the greatest that there is. You testify what's black and white without a light. You're just a grifter with an audience, fooling all the people with your magic, floating in the air like you're a god, wrapped up in your patriotic plastic. Underneath it all, you're just a fraud. Just a fraud. You're just a fraud. You're just a
just a fraud.